next parak with Malach, a lot of secular, I won't call Torah, but there's a lot of secular writings on it. Obviously, we're going to go through the Chazals on it. Just want to make one last point in Parak Testil. Pasuk says, goes through what the different people's jobs were and how Shlomo HaMelech utilized the different groups of people. So it says, "Ubibnei Yisrael loynosan Shlomo Yevet." Shlomo HaMelech didn't make any avodim from the Jewish people. He didn't make them into avodim for the government. The pasuk says why? Ki heim anshei hamulchama v'avodo v'soro v'shaliso v'soro hichvoyu forashav. So the Navi gives us a reason why Shlomo HaMelech didn't use them as slaves, pretty much because they had a more important role to take care of. Problem is that Mashmah, says the Pasuk, is that if Shlomo HaMelech would have wanted, he would have used them for Avodim. He didn't use them for Avodim because he had other uses for them. And therefore, he didn't make them avodim. So the problem is very simple. There's a famous sugya in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin actually talks about what is a king allowed to do? How much leverage does a king have? What could he use his people for? Okay. In the Middle Ages, kings would do whatever they want with people. Till today, there are dictators that run their governments in that way. They do whatever they want to people. The question is, what is in the jurisdiction of a king? Machlekes between Rav and Shmuel in Maseches Sanhedrin. Because Shmuel HaNavi, when Klal Yisrael asked for a king, Shmuel HaNavi gave them a whole Musa Shmuel. I'm sure the Olam remembers this from Sefer Shmuel. That Klal Yisrael asked for a king, Shmuel HaNavi gives them a whole Musa Shmuel. We even schwitzed on it then, we were working on to understand what they do wrong. There's a parasha in the Torah of Melech, right? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to be appointed king. What Klal Yisrael do wrong? By appointing a king, by wanting to appoint a king. All the Rishonim discuss it over there. What was Klal Yisrael's chet? Obviously, it was the attitude, it was what they wanted the king for. They said, L'shofteinu k'chol agoyim. Not going to go through that whole parasha again. But we went through it by Rikas then and Sefer Shmuel, what the time on Klal Yisrael was, that they asked for a king. But the bottom line is they asked for a king, and Shmuel HaNavi tries to dissuade them from asking for a king. He says, what are you doing asking for a king? He says, do you know what a king could do? And he starts telling them what a king will do. Take full advantage of them. V'gam b'bneichem, v'gam b'neiseichem, who'll take your sons and your daughters, will make them into slaves. You state the impulse. He'll take your fields, he'll take... Because he makes a king sound like the biggest dictator could do whatever he wants. That's what Shmuel. Now, it's a machlokes in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel, Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Chof. What was Shmuel HaNavi doing? Was he scaring them? But really, a king is not allowed to do that. Really, a king is not allowed to stop and use the people according to his will on a whim and decide, I want to take them for slaves. King can't do that. That's one side. And Shmuel's only reason why he said it to them was to scare them. As the Gemara says, La'ayim aleihem, to make them scared. And the other opinion says, no. Kol ma shekosuv bis... B'parshas melech, melech mutubo. Whatever it says over there, king kataka do. I bet it's not a nice thing. But a king has jurisdiction to do that. Comes to Koheles David and Rinas Yitzchok from Sorotskin, and they both ask the same question. The question is as follows. L'choyrim avur mikan d'meikar adin rashay lasa yisavodim. It sounds like a king could do this. Because Shlomo HaMelech was obviously a Shulchan Aruch keeping individual. observant. And if Shlomo HaMelech, the pasuk says, the reason why Shlomo didn't have Jewish slaves, he didn't make from doing, because he had other things for them to do. Tzmashma, if not, would have made them into avodim. So the kasha is, Hayurashe lasis meyam avodim. Now the truth is, that the Rambam takin uchus melachim perek dalet, the Rambam paskins that way. He paskins a king has a right for his own purposes to do. If he has a need for it, he can do that. But there's a machlekes in the Gemara. He says, L'chaira, this is only according to Shmuel. Rav holds that a king can't do that. Rav holds a king does not have such an authority to take what to take from the people and use them at will. V'tzorach iyun mikan al Rav, d'loy nemra par shazu el olayim aleim, avleinim utalas iske. So the kasha is, from here we have a clear pasuk in Melachim that implies that a king is allowed to do that. Allowed to do what he wants. L'chayr. What's pshat? So I think Rabbi said you could say pshat is very pasuk. According to the Mandom and the Gemara, that Shmuel Anovi was just trying to scare Klal Yisrael. So I have a kasha. Why is not Ganeva's das? Ganeva's das. Trying to scare them. With what? With halachas that don't apply? That's Ganeva's das. You know how to tell somebody something just to fool them? Shmuel Anovi didn't want them to ask for a king, or didn't like the way they were asking for a king. Whatever the cheshbon is, right? Whatever the cheshbon is, so what's he scaring them, telling them things that are not true? Very schwer. Very difficult. So what's pshatak? There has to be a pshat in the Gemara. That Shmuel was scaring them, he had a cheshbon. He wasn't just telling them things, nishkishtoig and nishkifloig, and just making up stories. But the simple reading of the Gemara, the Sanhedrin d'Afchov, it sounds like it was to scare them, to dissuade them. It wasn't real. So I'll tell you what I think we could say to Hezbollah Dover is here. Both explain what's going on here, and it also explains what's going on in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There's no stira b'chlal. According to the opinion in Sanhedrin that says, L'ayim aleim, it's all one thing. When we started this man 2 years ago, Yeshiva Elzman, I was giving then a shmuz on Parshas Kiseitse. And the kasha I asked is one of my favorite kashas in the beginning of the parsha. Parsha starts off with a Yifas Toya. Parsha starts off with a guy who goes to the war, and he meets a woman, a shiksa, and he wants to marry her. There's a whole parsha how he's allowed to marry her. The pasuk says, Hey Vesel Techbesa, you take her into your house, you let her grow here, she cuts her nails. And it's a process. And after 30 days, if you want to marry her, you let her marry her. The end of the 30 days, it says, if you don't want, v'shilachta l'nafsha, you have to sit free her. But if not, you could take her. That's the puzzle. Right after that comes Pasha's Bensoro Meira. Nebuch, a person has a son who's a Bensoro Meira, terrible thing. Nebuch, he has a son that has to be put to death. It's pretty bad. It's not a joke. To have to put a son to death, bring a son to Bezin to be killed. Shreklach. Comes Chazal. They say, why are these two parashis together? I'm sure you recall Rashi on the spot brings it down. Rashi says, somebody is going to marry you, Fastaya. Somebody who marries such a woman, the end will be Elava Ben Sarumar. Remember that Rashi? Just take Rashi. The end will be Elava Ben Sarumar. So what was the kasha we had? Simple kasha. That is the worst punishment you could give anybody. If you ask any parent in the world, is there any punishment worse than having a son of Ben Sarumar? The answer is absolutely, unequivocally not. It's the worst punishment you could possibly have, to have your own child to be put to death through Bez, through you. It's unimaginable. Unimaginable. What did the guy do wrong? He followed the script. The Torah said, if you see a woman and you want to marry her, take her home. This is what you should do. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. What did he do wrong? Okay, he didn't marry up. It's the best. Beis Yankov Megel. Right? He didn't marry up. It's a girl from seminary in Yerushalayim, some special girl. He married a Syrian. Right? Maybe from ISIS, or Chvesvos. He didn't marry the best Megel. But he did what the Torah told him to do. He followed the law. What the Torah told him to do. What's the problem? Mabaya. The pshat is, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a lot of shmuzin about this idea. There are certain things that we find in the Torah that are not necessarily a punishment. They're cause and effect. They're cause and effect. That means you do something, it's going to affect you. Even if it's not, even if you didn't do the worst avera, you did something that's going to affect you. Because you did something that's going to affect you, you're going to have the consequences. It wasn't the biggest avera. It's not a punishment. It's the way the world runs. If you jump off a building, that's 118 floors, you usually die on the bottom. It's an oinish. Oinish? Not oinish. Poor guy jumped off. He jumped off. Not only that, it's very shaykh that by the time he hits the 72nd floor, he has chagotah. Still remember as a little kid, you know, when you go to these high buildings, whatever, you look over, there's a part of you that has like a thrill of what would it be like to jump off. But then, Baruch Hashem, most people have the other part of them that goes, Mistam is not kedai to test it out. And if a guy did Nebuch, he tested it out, he's going to end up, if he jumps off the observatory in the Empire State Building, he's going to end up on 34th Street, a potato. It's not going to be geschmack. Not going to be geschmack. It's an oinish. It's a punishment. No. It's an outcome of his action. So, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in Ruchnius, in spiritual thing, there's a lot of things that work that way. You know? That you make a certain choice, and then based on that choice, you have certain consequences. It doesn't mean that that choice was necessarily the biggest avega. Was a Chilul Shabbos. But that choice creates this type of conclusion. Those of you that are learning Daf Yomi, we just had in Yevomis. My mom just gave shir on this Gemara on Shabbos. I was telling the Olam, a very difficult Gemara. The Gemara there brings down that Levi was Nafak L'Kriyosa. Levi was sent for a Kiruv project, basically. His Rebbe sent him to a city, okay, to be Makar of the Eden over there. They were uneducated. Mom is like an out-of-town girl. They asked him three shailas, the Gemara brings down. They asked him a Yibum shaila, a Chalitza shaila, and then they asked him a Divrei Agada. He couldn't answer any of the questions. It was very embarrassing. Here the guy is brought in as the rabbi, scholar in residence, and Nebuch, the poor guy, all three questions they asked him, he didn't know how to answer. He comes back to his Rebbe. He tells his Rebbe what happened. Anyway, the way the Medrash brings down, the Tosfos he's shown him over there, brings down the Medrash Rabbe. This is on Daf Kuf Hei in Maseches Yevamos. The Rebbe tells him, what do you mean you didn't know to answer the question? The Rebbe asked him the questions. By his Rebbe, he answered all three questions without a blip, right on the spot. He knew the answers to the question. So the Rebbe told him, what happened to you? When you were there, you couldn't answer it. What happened? So the Medrash Rabbe brings down, and again, if you look at Tosfos Yeshanim there in Yevamos Kuf Hei, he brings down the Medrash Rabbe. Medrash Rabbe says, he tells his Rebbe, that what happened was, when I got to the city, they were very proud of me. It's a city with a bunch of Amaratzim. And he walked in, I got to Talmud Chacham. So they put him on a gold throne. They gave him a Rebbe's chair. Right? The Zohar Daitel of, he felt a little gaiva. This is Gishmak. The Gemara says, Kol HaMisyoya, if you have a gaiva, you forget your Torah. Chochmasa mishpakachas mimena. So he forgot his learning. So he couldn't answer a question that he knew on his fingertips. So what's the obvious question? So I asked Akasha, this is not a guy that was looking for gaiva. I'm only have a guy, he walks into a shul, right away he goes over to the gabbai, he goes, what's with shlishi, is it available? He wants shlishi. The guy's looking for gaiva. He's looking for gaiva. Some people like to hear their voices, they want to have a musaf. Do you have a bal musaf? Okay, I don't want to be a bal gaiva, I'm just telling you I know how to daven. If you need somebody, I'm available. The guy's looking for kavod. Levi wasn't looking for kavod. His Rebbe sent him on a mission to become an out-of-town rabbi, Kiruv rabbi. Lemaisa, he went there, they gave him a lot of kavod. He didn't come there and say, where's my gold throne? They had it ready for him. Right? He didn't go around running around looking for gaiva. It came to him. I said very simple. What do you see from the Gemara? Kol misyoya. Somebody who's a gabal gaiva, he forgets his learning. It's not a punishment. It's a fact that Torah goes mimokum gavoya lemokum namach. Torah goes to anovim. Torah goes to humility. And if you have gaiva, you forget Torah. It doesn't work. There's a short circuit. It doesn't work. See, even though this gaiva that Levi had, b'shas ma'aseh, it wasn't that he was looking for it. But once he had the gaiva, the Torah went away. The Torah went away. That's a consequence. It's not an oinish, it's a consequence. Ben Sir Omer, I wanted to say very simple. He marries a woman because he has a taiva. Why did he marry this Syrian woman? He didn't marry her because of yichus. Her father was Nepis, the chief rabbi of the city. Her father's name is Mohammed Abrijav from Syria. Right? So he didn't marry her because her father was Nepis, a choshev guy. Right? He didn't marry her because he got a good report from her seminary, because she didn't even go to seminary. Not only that, could be she was a Taliban. She didn't even go to school. That's from the goal list. So why did he marry her? He married her because of choshak tobo. He married her because of taiva. He had a taiva for this person. Even though no real reason to marry this woman. Oh! The consequence is you haven't been served. Not a punishment. It's a consequence. If you build your home on taiva, if that's the theme of your home, that's what you have. That's the result. If that's the way you build your home, that's the result. It's very simple. Finished. If somebody would build a home and he would make no svarim room, no achnasas orachim room, the only room in the house is bench lifting, bench pressing, as we say, not lifting. I mean, a very strong guy could pick up the benches too. Yeah? And that's the theme of the house. All his kids, from when they're 1.5, 2 years old, you bring them into the gym. Build up your kishke. So what are you left with? You'll bring up a bunch of Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's what your kids will look like. What? It's an einish. It's not a punishment. That's what you brought up. What do you want? That's what they are. Tosfos ben Sira Omer. You get married to a woman, a Syrian woman, a Lebanese woman. Why do you marry her for? For taiva. That's what your kid will grow up to be. It's not a punishment. It's a cause and effect. That's a Metzius Hadvar. The emes is that a king perits gedder. A king has a right. He has a right to use the people. You could say Sai according to Rav and Sai according to Shmuel. They both agree that if a king needs you for a particular reason for the tzibur, of course he could use you. Why not? The machlokes is if the king could use the people for his own personal purposes. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel says yes. It's one of these under the jurisdiction of the king. And Rav says no. But Avad, if the king has a reason for the kingdom, that the person is needed for the kingdom, Avad, he could use it. Even Rav would agree, as a tzarech shah, Just like Melech Peretz Geder, if there was a need for the tzitzit, he could do it. Right? But it all depends what kind of king he is. If the guy is a king that's selfish, he's there for himself. He'll always say, I'm doing it for the people. I'm not doing it for me. I'm not taking chas v'shalom. Take your kid for a slave. There's a big tzorich now. There's a big need. There's a war with ISIS. I need. If the tzibur needs you. Right? But really, he's a selfish brat. He's taking for himself. Shmuel HaNovi was telling Klal Yisrael, if you're asking for a king for the wrong reason, you're going to end up with the type of king that's going to do this. He's going to take your sons and daughters as slaves. Yeah, and then he'll make up that he's doing it al pi shulchan aruch. That answers our question. What, Shmuel HaNovi is playing games with Klal Yisrael? L'ayim aleim, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Wasn't l'ayim aleim. He was telling them that's really what's going to happen. If you're asking for a king for the wrong reason, you end up with a Ben Sarumari. That's what you can end up with. You can end up with that type of king that's not there for the people. And he'll end up taking people for his own personal use. And he'll say it's for the kingdom. He'll find a cheshbon. It's not for him. Shlomo HaMelech, on the other hand, he was there for the tzibur. So if for the tzibur's purposes they would have needed to use the Yidden, they would have used them. Would have been mutter. Sai according to Rav and Sai according to Shmuel. According to both, it would have been mutter. Because Shlomo was coming with a kavanah l'shem Shemayim. It happens to be that Klal Yisrael are a better use for them in the army. But Shlomo HaMelech has ish tzibur, he taka would have been allowed to use them, sai according to Rav and sai according to Shmuel. So the Rinas Yitzchok's kash is answered. The Rinas Yitzchok is asking what? According to Rav, that you're not allowed to take people for your personal slaves, how would Shlomo have done it? There was no havamini would take it for personal slaves. It would have been l'tzarechom. And that's what the pasuk is coming to say. Yasha.